In Proverbs 20, it says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. That's men and women. So, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord God. Lord, humble. Lord, with nothing. God, because we're nothing apart from you. Lord, we just ask, Holy Spirit, right now, Lord God, that you would hide me, Lord God. Lord, that you would shut me up, Lord. Lord, that only you would speak this morning. Lord, that you would give me the words to speak, Lord God, that words would flow from your throne, Lord. That you would, Lord, break that word apart and deliver to each person, Lord God, as you see fit this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord God, to understand this word. Lord, that you would plant it deep in each and everyone's hearts, Lord. God, that we would be changed. Lord, that we would be more like you, Lord God, and that we would honor you. Lord, that I would honor you this morning, God. Lord, that you would be high and lifted up and glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, I was listening to Gary this morning, and you know, I thought, okay, it's kind of funny, he's getting me back. You know, if he was talking about us letting good thoughts come in, good thoughts will come out. And if you let evil thoughts come in, evil thoughts will come out. Well, it's the same thing, that we war against these good thoughts and these bad thoughts. What are we going to let come out? Because it all starts here in the mind, as we've heard before. But we're a chosen generation.
Amen.
We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation.
Amen.
We are God's special people, and He gives us the strength to war against that. It's not our strength. It's in Him. And it says, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, because we were lost. We were dead.
Right.
We were in darkness. But God has called us. God has called us together.
Amen.
And now, as we come in here and we look around, we are the people of God.
Amen.
We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God has given that to us. In verse 11, it says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I beg you, the Lord begs you, as pilgrims, here for a short time, that you would abstain from those fleshly lusts, from wickedness, that you would war against your soul, that you would allow the Lord to help you, to fight against those things, that you would war against it, that those that are out in the world that see you, that watch you because you say you're a Christian, but you show you're a Christian. I ask you today, put on the armor of God, that you would war against those things, that as you're out in the world, that those see you, that they might be saved, that they may be drawn in, because they watch you. Everybody watches you. Whether you think so or not, people are watching you because you call yourselves a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you showing the world what you are? God calls us to abstain from those things.
Amen.
War against it. How do you war against things? You train. You gird yourself up. We need this word. If you're not in this word, if you're not preparing yourself for battle, you're not going to be able to war against things very long. You're going to fall. You're going to be defeated. But God has given this to us, this gift, to prepare us, to protect us,
Amen.
To do battle.
Amen.
I want you to turn to James 1:21, please. Verse here. In James 1 it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I don't know about you. I don't know about your work situation. I don't know about your family. But I desire to be blessed in what I do.
Amen.
I hope that you desire to be blessed in what you do. As a father, as a mother, as a child, as a friend. I hope that you desire to be blessed in what you do. Because you hear the word on Sunday morning. I don't know if you go home and you read the Word, if you hear it as you take it in, but are you doers of the Word? We can talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? Let me tell you, when I was preparing this morning, as Pastor asked me to preach, I always, that place through my head, do you practice what you preach? Do you practice what you preach? Well, that's what we need to do. Because I know each one of you, and I know that we go out and we say that we're Christians, but are we practicing what we're preaching to other people? Not standing up here preaching, but the things that we say to our friends in school, our friends at work, the people that we talk to. Are we practicing what we preach? Are we being doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word and forgetting when we walk out that door? It's not easy, folks. The enemy is roaming around seeking whom he may destroy. Trying to steal that word from you, each and every one of us. Satan doesn't want you to be doers of the word.
That's right.
He wants you to be tired. He wants you to be lazy. He wants you to be complacent. He doesn't desire you to be doers of the word, to go out and be trained up, be disciples, to go out and save the lost, as we're called to do.
True.
Turn with me to Jeremiah 7:9, and I'm pretty sure I got this one right. In Jeremiah 7:9 it says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in the house which is called by my name? I don't know what you do outside of these walls, but the Lord today is calling you to lay down those fleshly things, those things that hinder you from coming into the house of God and being able to stand up with clean hands and a pure heart and lift your hands up and praise Him.
Amen.
What do you do outside of these walls? Do you steal people's testimony or murder them by gossip by things that you say? Do you take something from your brother, your sister, or your job and don't even think about it because you're seeing things as a gray area and not black and white as the Bible calls it?
Sure.
Do you swear falsely against someone to protect yourself? Do you burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods that you do not know? Do you covet things? Do you follow after fleshly desires, sinful desires, sexual immorality, things of this world? I love you guys, and the reason that I believe God gave this word to me is because God desires us to go deeper.
Amen.
God desires us to get serious with Him. And not just come in here on Sunday morning and receive a word and walk out and go do our own thing the rest of the week. God desires that we would be faithful. God desires that we would be in this word, that we would be trained up, that we would walk and practice what we preach, that we would follow after Him, that we would lay hold of the things that God has for us.
Amen.
You know, there was a time when I was walking on the fence, you'd say. I was holding on to the things of this world because it looked good. It looked fun. And then I'd walk with God and I'm like, you know, this is a pretty good place to be. And the Lord knocked me off of the fence onto my face and said, get up. What are you doing? Those things in this world, those aren't fun. That desires to drag you into the pits of hell. I desire glorious things for you. I'm preparing a place for you. Are you going to join me? Are you going to join Him in heaven?
Amen.
Amen.
In Luke 21:1 it says, and He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury, and He saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites, as I said last week. So He said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. And as we talked about before, she did not care about what brother or sister so-and-so sitting next to her was thinking when she got up and put in all that she had. It's a picture for us as giving monetarily and her believing by faith. But it's also a picture of so much more, of her laying down herself on the altar, giving God all that she had. Because when you lay yourself down and say, God, take all of me. Take all of me. God is going to give back and bless you abundantly and draw you into His kingdom and prepare you and raise you up for the great things that He has for you.
Amen.
He'll reveal His will to you.
Amen.
Some of us are walking with the Lord and we don't know. We say, God, what is it that You're trying to show us? God, what is Your will for me? But are you laying yourself down? Are you following after Him? Are you doing the things that you desire? And not thinking about, God, what is it? What are You calling me to do? If you lay yourself down and you say, God, show me what it is. God is faithful. God is faithful to show you. I'm telling you, each and every one of you, God desires great things for each and every one of you. Greater things than you know. If you lay it down, if you lay yourself down before Him, God desires great things for you. Only by His strength. It's nothing in us. It doesn't say that she went in her strength to the altar and said, here, God, let me help you by giving you all that I have. No. We know by the Word of God that we find our strength when we are weak. When we come on bended knee and say, God, I have nothing. I have nothing, Lord. When you bend your knee, you're humble. When you come with meekness, which is humbleness and humility, God will make you strong.
Amen.
God desires to make you strong this morning. Turn to Proverbs 10, please. Proverbs 10, 6. God bless you. Quiet in here. Either one thing's happening. Either A, you're falling asleep, or B, the Lord's ministering to your heart. And I hope the Lord's ministering to your heart this morning. Proverbs 10:6. It says, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. That's powerful. To me, that really ministered to my heart, because I was thinking about, as I read this, I was thinking about Lance Armstrong, the world's greatest cycler, a man who was world-renowned, who people adored because he came back from cancer, won all these races and won a bronze medal in the Olympics. Great, great man. And then now, everything's blown because he lied. He was a cheater. And his integrity means nothing now. Nothing. And as I read in Proverbs 26:6, it says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Do you desire your children to be blessed after you?
Amen.
Are you going to walk in integrity and be an example to them? Those that don't have children yet, are you going to walk in integrity so that you find a husband or wife that walks in integrity to come alongside you, to raise your children up after you? Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Amen?
Amen?
But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. I don't want violence to cover me. I don't want violence to cover you. Don't be wicked. Lay it down. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what those things are that you battle. The anger. There's so many things. But if you lay it before the Lord will raise you up in His strength and make you righteous.
Amen.
And will bless you. Amen. Blessings are on the head of the righteous.
Amen.
I want to be blessed, that I may honor the Lord. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. What legacy are you leaving for your family, for your friends, for your children? What are you doing for the Lord? Are you leaving a legacy for the Lord? That when you're gone, people are going to look back and remember sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so for what they've done? It's not for us. It's not our works. It's not for our glory. It's all for our Lord and Savior. So bless Him.
Right.
But what are you doing? Are you being hearers of the Word, or are you being doers of the Word? It says the wise in heart will receive commands. Can you hear from the Lord? Can you receive His command? Or are you too proud? Are you too prideful? When there's an altar call, and we say, you know what, if you want to come forward, if you need prayer, come forward. Is your life perfect? And you stay in your seat? I'm not saying that you need to come forward to have someone pray for you. Because the Bible says that we have access to Him. Amen?
Amen?
But are you allowing the Lord to minister to your heart? And are you going to Him and saying, God, I need You. Lord, I need You to help me here. Lord, I need You to strengthen me in this. Lord, by Your blood, I am saved. I'm only cleansed by Your blood. Wash me, Lord. Wash me with Your blood. Take these thoughts from me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Because only by His blood are we saved. Nothing in our own strength. I desire for each and every one of us to walk in integrity. That when we come in here on Sunday morning, that we're no different than we are outside of this place. That we're no different, that when we come together with our best friends, than we are when we stand in front of Pastor Mark or Pastor Maggie. You know, it says, do you go through the week and be wicked and then come before me and praise my name on Sunday? We should be no different. No different at work, in front of our best of friends, in front of our wife, in front of our children, than we do when we come in Sunday morning. We should have reverence for the Lord. If this word is true and God lives in us, we should be the same. Now, we are all fallen, as Sister Michelle said. Nobody's perfect. Each and every day we need to examine ourselves, because it's only by this that we're saved. But are you being doers of the word? Or are you just hearing it and letting it just go in one ear and out the other? Throw you guys off. Turn to Titus 1. It's towards the end of the New Testament. Before Hebrews. I don't go to this book a lot, so I marked mine in my Bible. Titus 1:7 says, "For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Now this says for a bishop, but we're all leaders. We're all called to be leaders. We're all called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read this, this hits a lot of areas. A lot of stuff that people struggle with. Be blameless. That's pretty darn hard, to be blameless. I don't know about any of you, but have you done anything wrong this last week that you can be blamed for? I have. I'm guilty. Not self-willed. Oh, Lord, help me not be self-willed. Not quick-tempered. Got me again, Lord. Not given to wine. We don't drink in my house, but... Not violent. You know, I look at this one and I think of my kids. First, they're quick-tempered, and then they're violent and start fighting with one another. And then I get quick-tempered and I whack them. Not greedy for money. It's a hard one. You know, because whether you have little or you have much, money is all evil. And whether you have a little or a lot, you want more. Because you want to do this, you want to buy that. But as my brother Gary talked about, as you receive, where's your heart? Do you give abundantly? Do you have a lot and you give that 10% and a little more and everything's fine? Or do you challenge yourself and say, Lord, you've given me a lot, and I know your word says to give 10%, but I'm going to give 20, because I'm going to believe you by faith, Lord God, that you're going to continue to bless me, because your word says that you bless the righteous. Your word says that you're faithful. Your word says that if you give, it will be given back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Amen.
Amen.
I desire to give and be blessed. Do you desire to give? Give of your money. Give of your time. Be blameless as a steward of God. Not self-willed. Not quick-tempered. Not given to wine. Not violent. Not greedy for money. But hospitable. A lover of what is good. Sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That's the desire for each and every one of you. That you can exhort the Lord. That you can have sound doctrine. And that you can convict those who contradict the Word of God. But if you're angry, given the wine, violent, greedy for money, not hospitable, and people see that, are you going to be able to minister to people? Are they going to look at you and go, who are you? You're a mockery. Are you going to be a person of integrity? A person who's reflected the Word of God inside out? Do you display one thing during the week? What's on the inside? Do you hide thoughts, wickedness on the inside? Because you can put on a show each and every day. You can put on a show, but God knows your heart. I don't know your heart. Your family doesn't know your heart. God knows your heart. What's on the inside? Are you filling your heart? Are you filling your inside, your spirit, with the things of God? Are you saying, Lord, speak to me. Speak to my spirit. Spirit speaks to spirit. What are you filling it with? Good thoughts? Or bad thoughts? Because like my brother said, if you let your mind be filled with bad thoughts, evilness, drunkenness, angry thoughts, bitter thoughts, that's what's going to come out. Is that what you want to come out of your mouth? Out of your life? That's not what I want. It's not what I want for my family. It's not what God wants for you. God wants goodness to come out of each and every one of you. In Hebrews 13:18, if you want to turn there, it's a scripture we're going to close with today. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience, in all things desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought you up, our Lord Jesus, from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God desires that we may have a good conscience and live honorably to Him. To live honorably for the Lord. You know, as we close, I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what's on your mind. But I would ask Kyle if you would put on a song, please. And Michelle, if you'll come forward. If you need prayer, if you're struggling with the things of the Lord, if you're struggling with any of these things, come forward. Ask for prayer. Let us pray with you and stand in agreement with you. You can stand up, you can go lift it before the Lord, but I would ask that you would, by faith, come forward. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you the strength to overcome, that you may live with integrity and be honorable before the Lord, that you can be an example to your friends, your family, and the people out there in this world. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I would ask that you would come forward if you need prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that your people would receive this word, Lord. And if there's anyone here, Lord God, Lord, that needs prayer, that they would come forward, Lord God. Lord, that they would lay down their pride. Lay themselves down, Lord God. That they would lay themselves down, Lord, and humble themselves. I just thank you, Lord.
pray that your will is done and that you're honored and glorified in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Take this time to just get your heart right with God.
Thank you.
God that you have separated us from these things. That we're not just coming down, Lord God, but take them away, Lord. Just that,
I guess I could have hit stop.